Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys, LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Broker Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or BlackRidge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and BlackRidge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Broker Services.
So I'm Seth Dillon, CEO of the Babylon Bee. We are fake news you can trust. That's the tagline, right? So we're in the satire game. You could kind of, I guess the media refers to us often as the conservative version of The Onion. So I think it's a fair description, really. It's what we're making the same style jokes and humor, and we're just doing it from a different perspective, a different political perspective, coming at the things from a Christian perspective as well.
Any concerns about, like, you know, the deplatforming of everybody? Have you looked into like Rumble or other type of platforms?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a real concern, and it's a threat, because one of the things that we've dealt with is this, like, the media's approach to us has been to treat us as maliciously misleading fake news. The idea is that, you know, our intent is not to make people laugh or think, but to actually make them believe the wrong things, which is just silly and absurd. I mean, we're a satire site. But that's the argument that they're making for the purpose of having us deplatformed. They're saying these guys shouldn't be on social media because they're spreading misinformation. If you care about misinformation, you'll block these guys and take them down. So it's been a real concern of ours for the last several years. And we've faced threats to be deplatformed, demonetized. We've had accounts suspended. Our MailChimp account was just recently suspended. So there's always this conversation about, you know, what are the alternatives? And my personal perspective on that is that the platforms that we're currently on, I think we have a right to be on. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that based on like present law, but I'm saying it based on the fact that these companies like Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, for all intents and purposes, are the digital public square of the modern age. Like, it used to be that the public square was like the street corner, the park, you know, like the town commons, where you would like gather to have conversations and share ideas. In today's world, it's different. And I know these are private companies. Everybody always says, well, they're private companies, they can do whatever they want. Well, they're private companies in a very unique position with a very unique power that previously only the state had.
Right. So, shielded from liability.
What's that?
Shielded from liability.
Right. So it's a very problematic situation. Right. Now, I realize that the people whose interests are protected by these companies don't think it's a problematic situation. But we certainly see it as a problematic situation. So, well, the present law treats them as private companies that can do whatever they want. I don't think they should be treated that way. I don't love calling for like government intervention or anything, but there's a lot of ideas on the table, like the common carrier regulations and stuff like that Justice Thomas recently floated. So I don't know, that's a whole other thing to get into. But back to the main question about deplatforming, yes, deplatforming is a major concern. I don't think that we should be really exploring alternative platforms so much as being concerned with our right to stay on these platforms where the public square is. What's that saying? There's a grain of truth in every joke.
Right.
You know, there's when you make a joke, if it's so detached from reality, like a satirical joke, because news satire is like a legitimate enterprise. And what news satire does is we make up fake headlines, fake stories, pair it with like a Photoshopped image and put it out there. Mm-hmm. And it's like a funny, with a grain of truth to it, story that exaggerates the truth to make its point. Well, that's what satire is. If it was so divorced from the truth that you could never possibly believe it was true, nobody would think it was funny. It wouldn't be interesting. It would just be this wild random joke out of nowhere that wasn't connected to reality in any way. The fact that these stories are sometimes believable is an indictment of the person we're satirizing, whatever the thing is that we're satirizing. It means there's some truth to the point that we're making, and they should be looking at that. That's the problem. Instead, they focus on us. When we're the ones who are just making a joke about this real issue. So, you know, that's the interesting thing. But the project of satire is not in any way abused when people believe that the stories are true. It's just, that's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, it's bound to happen. And it doesn't mean that people are stupid necessarily, although in some cases it does, because depending on the story could be so ridiculous. If people believe it's true, they're stupid. But generally, the issue is that's the nature of satire. I think the fact that reality is so insane that it's so challenging to satirize, again, that's not an indictment of satire. That's an indictment of the crazy people making the world a crazy place.
How many content people do you have here?
Our creative staff is actually out in California. We have like 20 plus people involved now in the business, producing either the articles or the video content. We have a whole team doing video production now. So it's a mix of people, yeah, but small team.
How do you find the right funny people? Because I mean, all your stuff is hilarious.
Some of them come to us, honestly. Our current editor-in-chief, Kyle Mann, he submitted articles like the week the site launched. He was sending articles in. And Adam, who founded the site, was like, dude, keep them coming. These are good. And it's actually really weird that that happened, because since then, we've reached so many millions of people. And we do not connect often with talent. I mean, people will send us ideas, and it's just, you know, come on, you know, yeah.
Like my kind of
keep your day job. Keep your day job. You know, you're not a satirist. Most of it's garbage. But Kyle, right off the bat, was sending in good ideas. Adam hired him part time originally, and then when I took over the site, I hired him full time, made him editor chief. He's just super talented. So sometimes it comes to us. It's hard to hire and just be like, you know, put out a job posting on Indeed and find a great writer for this. It's these people, they seek you out, they find you, or it's somebody that we know, you know, through the industries that we're connected to with some of our current people that are very talented. You know, we have our creative director, for example, has been in the Hollywood world for a while. He was a writer for VeggieTales and Teen Titans Go.
Oh, yeah,
so he's got experience with that. So we have connections to that world and have tapped into some of that talent pool.
From a profit perspective, from a business perspective, of course, we run a financial firm, right? Is it advertising mainly that from the profit center? Is it subscriptions? Is it merchandising?
He wants the recipe to the secret sauce. When I took it over, it was just a simple, basically a WordPress blog. I mean, it wasn't a custom built website. It was running on a templated theme, and was only monetized with Google AdSense ads. And you know, the way you monetize AdSense is by driving lots of traffic. If you have lots of traffic, you can make a little bit of money. But that's a very limited monetization plan, and it has weak points, huge weak points. If Facebook deplatforms you, then what? Because that's where you're getting all your traffic from. So then you can't make any ad revenue. Or Google turns you off and doesn't allow you to run those ads anymore, your traffic is worthless. So we tried to diversify. When I got involved in 2018, we started doing other things, like we open up a store, we sell e-commerce merchandise. We self-publish and have published with major publishers books. We have a subscription platform now where you can subscribe for access to exclusive content and also some premium features, like commenting on articles, pitching headlines to our team and our headline forum, which is fun for people to do, get involved in the creative process. So the subscription platform has grown a lot, and that has now become our primary revenue driver since we've added so many paid subscribers. So the whole point when we really launched that, honestly, was not to become like this media company that offers tons of premium content that's worth $10 a month or, you know, $100 a year. The intent was to basically build our own like Patreon setup. You know, are you familiar with Patreon?
Yeah.
You know, where like content creators will say, hey, you know, chip in $5 a month so I can keep making my art instead of going back to my job.
Right.
If I get 300 people to do that, I can make a living, you know? Right. Well, you know, we launched this as basically a way of tapping into our audience and saying, look, we have weak points with big tech. We could be deplatformed. We don't want to have all our eggs in that basket. Subscribe and support us, and we'll give you some benefits and some perks. So it was originally launched in that way. And it's grown dramatically since then. We've layered in some additional benefits and come up with new ways of providing value and adding exclusive content.
How many podcasts do you guys have? Is it just one specific one, or is there multiple different people doing those?
Right now, just one mediocre podcast. yeah, we have the guys, Kyle and Ethan, host our main show, which is, you know, this kind of banter back and forth about what's going on in the headlines and our latest viral articles, and they'll interview, you know, notable guests and do that kind of stuff. So it's fun. It's not like a comedy show where it's just like one joke after another. It's a very just kind of relaxed dialogue, and the guys are funny and witty, so it ends up being entertaining.
You mentioned The Onion before. It seems like I haven't seen anything from them in forever. It seems like they're gone. Is the left lost? all sense of humor anymore? Are they still even around?
They are around. They've lost a lot of their influence. I think that the main issue, because it's not that they don't still produce content. You know, The Onion is still churning out a lot of content. They have millions and millions of followers. I think they have, like, 12 million followers on Twitter or something like that. I mean, they have way more than us. They get less engagement than we do, though, which is interesting. I'm not sure what accounts for that. Maybe their followers are sold now they've died. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they have... the left has created this situation where everybody is walking on eggshells, trying not to offend anyone. So a lot of comedians on the left are currently struggling to find that place, like, where what's appropriate to even joke about. Everything is considered punching down now. Everything is a stereotype that you're not allowed to even touch with a 100-foot pole. So comedians, I think, are really in a tough spot, and it's creating actually an opportunity for, like, this revolution in conservative comedy, you know, or at least it doesn't necessarily have to be conservative. It's just anybody who's willing to say the things you're not supposed to say,
right,
or make the jokes you're not supposed to make. You know, Dave Chappelle's continuing to do that right now and thriving as a result of it. So it doesn't have to be like Christian conservatives doing, like, you know, cheesy, clean comedy. It can be anybody who's willing to just kind of break outside of those rules. I don't think comedians should be put in those boxes where everything is off limits. So it's a lot of what they've done to themselves to kind of stifle their own creativity.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing at play there is The Onion's changed hands a couple of times. They've changed, you know, they've had different ownership. I don't know if that's affected their content, but, you know, jokes have to be attached to reality to be funny. We talked about that a little bit. You know, there's got to be a grain of truth. And a lot of the issue with some of the jokes that I see coming from The Onion, because sometimes they are funny, they're very funny, and they always have been. But lately, just over the course of the last several years, I've noticed a lot of these jokes, they're really based on a narrative, not the truth. And so there's not as much, like, you read that, and it's like, that's not really like how things are. Like, you're just, that's like, there's a certain narrative that's trying to say that that's how things are, and you're now joking about that, but it's not actually reality. And so it doesn't resonate. So that might be part of it. And the best way to deal with that, I think, is to just continue to, there need to be people who have those, are unafraid to say what you're not supposed to say. And then if people are continuing to do that, even when there's all this effort to, like, suppress and silence those voices, it will embolden other people, I think.
Right.
If we all self-censor, then we're just, you know, doing the tyrant's work for them, I think.
What's next for the Babylon Bee? Any huge announcements or next, you know, steps that we can, any expansion, you know, projects or anything that we could look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a couple of conversations in the works right now that we can't, like, disclose that could be cool partnerships and collaborations, which would be a lot of fun. But I think the main thing for us right now is we're investing a lot in that, you know, you mentioned that video that with the rednecks sitting out there talking about white privilege.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that growing that media arm and creating more funny content like that, is going to be huge. You know, people are more and more, what's happening on social media is people are getting into these video scrolling, feeds,
yeah,
and they're staying on the app to watch videos. You know, they're not engaging with links as much and reading articles. You know, that's really where people's eyes are, and the apps are trying to get people to do that because that's where the monetization is. That's where people are spending ad money. So I think that going along with that, leaning into that and producing content for that is going to be a big part of our growth strategy moving forward. And so we're continuing to look for opportunities to just kind of build that out.
Terrific.
Awesome.
Keep it funny.